You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, now that the feds, the network news people, your friends, family, and coworkers have completely confused you about it, we'll give you the straight skinny on the Zika virus. Did I mention coworkers? Oh, good. Stop talking to them. They'll cut you like a knife. An expert tells you what not to talk about with your coworkers. Manny the movie guy reviews the new zombie movie, and our travel guy has romantic Valentine's Day destinations. Let's meet the friends. He's got all his money on Orange, but will his team get crushed? It's Chris Martin.
There's a little sporting event this weekend that a few of us will be watching. Might be fun to talk about.
Coming to us live from Las Vegas, the guy behind Gonzo.fm, storied and bejeweled radio guy, Gonzo Greg Spillane.
Thanks, Phil. You know, as you'll remember from history, Skynet began to learn at a geometric rate and became self-aware at 2:14 a.m. Eastern Time, August 29th, 1997, which is really nothing compared to what the machines are about to do next.
I'll drink to that. And if you listen to the show on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a five-star review. You're helping the show by doing that because the folks over at iTunes, they read your comments. They're self-aware. They notice your five-star reviews. So please do that when you're using iTunes. And, of course, so many different ways to listen to the program. Go to the How to Listen page at philhewlettandfriends.com and choose your poison.
There's literally dozens of different ways to listen.
And there's no antidote, by the way. You will be stricken for life. All right, let's get things started. And Chris, we'll start with you today because I guess overshadowing anything else that's happening in the world, war, pestilence, success, failure, whatever it is, all eyes are on what's happening on Sunday. Is that correct?
That is correct. Nothing has more popularity than the National Football League. And this Sunday, old man Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos will face the real-life Superman Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. Everybody's interested to see what happens. Everybody's going to be paying attention to it. Most of us, at least a third of the country, will be watching it. And, you know, we have a few side stories about the game, as we always do. First of all, we know that advertising is not cheap when it comes to the Super Bowl because they get so many eyes on the television. Advertisers will be shelling out an average of $4.5 million per 30 seconds of commercial time.
How much?
$4.5 million
for 30 seconds. It must be worth it if they're spending that because of how many people they're reaching.
They're reaching a ton. They say that there will be anywhere between 100 and 140 million viewers to this game, not to mention the stadium's going to be full. And it, with the outlets that you have now of watching the game with all the abilities to stream it, there could be even more than that when you take in worldwide consideration because it just continues to grow in popularity.
Oh, yeah, and all these companies, they put their ads on the internet. And so it's all extended, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, yeah, and some of the ads they're already releasing. Like I saw an ad from Budweiser where they're doing an anti-drunk driving campaign, and they had already released it prior to Super Bowl. You'll see it during the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But then some of the ads, they won't. Like, you know, with their famous Clydesdale horses, you're just going to have to wait till Sunday to see those ones.
Yeah, and then go ahead.
Might not be reaching the people in Vegas because there's a controversy. It's with a cable versus the TV station.
Oh.
The affiliate here in Vegas has yet to, renew their contract with the cable company.
So you might not be able to watch the Super Bowl.
It might kind of be, unless you go and get an antenna. That might be the only way, or go to the sports book, which might be
that's where
option.
I'd be.
Yeah. Oh, and we're going to touch on that. We have so many Super Bowl stories. We'll pepper the show throughout for the next 2 hours. Audi, by the way, speaking of ads, they have a Super Bowl ad that features Starman by David Bowie.
Mm.
Let's see. CBS has banned a Super Bowl ad from a strip club because it's too racy, but they'll be fine. They'll be fine with the Carl's Jr. ads, by the way. William Dafoe turns into Marilyn Monroe in a Snickers ad. Let's see, what else?
That's got to be one of those because you're always...
You're not yourself when you're hungry.
That's it. That's the one.
Yeah. What else, Chris?
Yeah, a couple of other things. It's been announced not too long ago that Lady Gaga will be singing the national anthem.
Oh, I hope she doesn't blow it.
I doubt she will. She's a very talented singer. She also, by the way, will be giving a tribute to Bowie at the Grammys this year.
Oh.
Supposed to be something experimental, she's saying. So that's going to be worth turning into. But also Coldplay, the world-famous band, will be doing the halftime show.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That'll keep all the soccer moms happy.
Yeah, just we got to sneak this in for the potential bettors. The Carolina Panthers are favored by 3.5 to 5.5 points.
Is that it? That's all?
Depending on where you bet. Yeah, that is all. And after they just slaughtered the Arizona Cardinals, you'd think it'd be more.
Yeah, they did look good, and Denver just barely got through. But you and I have been saying from the start that Denver was going to win this thing, right?
I look around the landscape. It feels to me like the older generation, which I consider myself a part of, are rooting for Peyton Manning to go out on a high note with his swan song. But yet most of America doesn't seem to be giving him a chance, and they've just anointed Cam Newton the new king of sports.
All right, so we'll see if we're what's the word I'm looking for? Justified, or if we will be completely given a reality check on Sunday.
Either way, I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah.
You guys got any skin in the game, or you got any money on this thing?
Absolutely none. How about you?
None? Yeah. Because like it's estimated $10 billion is wagered on the Super Bowl worldwide. Only like a tiny, tiny percentage of that is actually wagered legally. So I think it's 1% in Nevada for Super Bowl betting.
Are you a gambler, Gonzo?
I take the stupid prop bets, like the coin toss.
Yeah.
Which, if you look at it, 49 prior Super Bowls, 25 tails, 24 heads.
Wow.
But there is a trend. The NFC has won 16 of the last 18 coin tosses.
So that means the AFC is due.
Maybe? Or how do you want to look at that?
I don't know.
How do you want to read that?
That's the way on the roulette table, if I see red, 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 then I go black. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. And there's a prop bet for how long the anthem will go. They've looked at it, and it looks like the projected time is 2 minutes and 13 seconds for Lady Gaga. So you can do an over and under bet on that one if you want.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm take going that over. Action.
How long do you think? What's the amount of time that she's given?
It's over under 2 minutes and 13 seconds.
She's coming under. I'm
you
going
think?
Under, yeah. Mm. Yeah, she's going to go like Tony Bennett style, how she's been singing with Tony, right? She's going to go that old school singer style, and she's gonna keep it under.
Zip right through it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Out of respect to our military, to our veterans, you know? She's not going to noodle. She's not going to do all of that. She's going to say perilous instead of perilless.
Oh.
Right?
You're saying she's going to even pronounce the words correctly.
She's going to nail it. That's what I'm betting.
That's bold.
All right. Any other weird prop bets, like how many guys scratch their crotch during the game?
I think there's lots of those. There's how many times are you going to see the Golden Gate Bridge, stuff like that.
And how many people have ever heard of the city of Santa Clara?
Right.
Which is where the new arena is, right?
I thought this game was in San Francisco.
Exactly. By the way, the Super Bowl, this one, has the most expensive tickets of any sporting event in history. One ticket is now selling for an average $4,957.
Jeez.
The old record was the Mayweather-Pacquiao boxing match back in May of last year, where tickets got up to $4,672. So this is the new one.
And be careful who you buy it from, because if you're in Santa Clara, there's going to be a lot of people with small pieces of paper claiming that they're Super Bowl tickets.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. It's like a box top from your cornflakes.
Yeah, Kraft mac and cheese.
Yeah, yeah. In a moment, we will give you the best and worst squares to get in your Super Bowl pool. I think that's useful information. But there's something else, too. Next time you want to drink, do you wonder first where your bartender's hands have been? You'll never have to worry about that again, thanks to technology that may actually be evil technology. Coming up next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. New study looked at the best numbers to get in your Super Bowl pool. Because, you know, you get the pool, you look at the squares, and you say, what? I got an eight? Six and an eight and a whatever. Well, six is good because, you know, early in the game.
Right. Two field goals, that's 6 points.
Yeah. But a new study looked at the best numbers to get based on the final score of the past decade of Super Bowls. And here they are in order. The best numbers. Zero.
Mm.
Seven.
Mm.
Four. That's two touchdowns, right?
Two touchdowns and two extra points.
Yeah. Three. Very good chance you'll win the first quarter with three.
Yep.
Right? One. Oh, this is for final score. Final score. One, six, eight, five, nine, and two. Now, those are the order. So zero is the best. Two is the worst out of that group. But those are all the best numbers. Yeah. So now you know.
Now we know. Two is the worst number. If you get that, call for a redo.
The trick is that you should be the person that put the pool together and picks the squares for everybody else. That's the trick, right?
What's the best square to get if you're doing the chicken drop?
The chicken drop? What is the chicken drop? I don't know what that is.
Chicken drop is where you got a chicken, and you put him on a table with a bunch of squares, and you bet on the square that he's going to crap on.
That's my kind of gambling.
Man, you grew up on a farm or what?
No, Vegas. You used to be able to go to the Fitzgerald Casino, and up on the top floor, they had the chicken drop, and you could bet money on what square the chicken was going to crap in.
That's hilarious. Yeah. That's good.
That's my kind of gambling
there. Have you ever bet that and won?
I never won.
Yeah, of course not.
Yeah, never won. Sam chicken.
That's a chicken craps game. All right, so let's order a drink, shall we? Gons, how do we do that these days?
Let's do that. There's and this is why I'm concerned about our robot overlords. There's a guy in Vegas. He just took over this company called Smart Bar USA, and they are manufacturing and selling the Smart Tender. It is a $25,000 touchscreen bar on wheels. Mm-hmm. It holds about 16 liquor bottles, 15 pounds of ice, mm-hmm. and can make about 600 different drinks.
Oh.
There's also a modular bar top unit that goes for $22,500, and then they get you for another $1,500 to install and train you on it. It makes an average beverage in 6 seconds, pours within 1/16th of an ounce on every single drink, and I think this means the end of humanity as we know it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if we put the robots in charge of our liquor, what is going to happen to us?
Bars will make record profits.
Yes, exactly. They're going to start shorting us on the liquor.
Yeah, I know. You get friendly with your bartender, they start giving you a better pour. The robot's not going to do that.
No, they're going to give us exactly the right amount of alcohol, which is not clearly enough.
Never. Yeah, that's all. Robots do not pour. They do not have a friendly pour. And plus, they're really awful to talk to.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're boring conversational.
Yeah, but let's look at the benefits, though. I mean, when you come up to the bartender, I mean, of all the bars that you've been to, what are the chances that you've got a bartender who's got his or her hands all over your drink, you know, the cup and the bottle that's being poured? And who knows where that bottle's been?
Hold on. They still have to put the ice in by hand.
Yes.
Or, like, if you want a lime wedge, they still have to put they still do the condiments.
There's lots of skin on drink and whatever goes into your gullet, and hopefully the alcohol kills it, but not if you don't get a friendly pour. But
it's not going to change.
But where have the hands been? Where has the drink bottle been? It's been in a cabinet with vermin that crawls in there overnight, right?
What kind of bars are you going to, Phil?
Seedy ones.
You ever talk to a bar owner about the stuff they have to do to keep all the bugs out of the bar? Because the cockroaches and the mice and the rats, they love the whatever sticky stuff is on the floor and on the cabinets and all that.
Look, you know what? I will take all of that fine, but I don't want to be stuck talking to C-3PO behind the bar.
No, me neither.
Right? I say, sir.
But you know what?
Cyborg relations. It sounds like your relationship is in the crapper.
Yeah. All right. But it's here. Remove the need to deal with the bartender who may or may not be friendly with you, and remove the concern about cleanliness of hands and other things. And perhaps this robot thing is a good idea.
It's actually, apparently, it's designed mainly for places like a lot of movie theaters now, you're able to drink. And so places like that aren't specifically bars. Are really, I think, the target for where they're selling these things.
Like airports?
airport, stuff like that. Yeah. So for simple drinks, you know, a rum and Coke, a vodka tonic, something like that, it's probably an effective way to get a drink like that. At the DMV would probably
be. Oh, that'd be an awesome place for it.
Yeah.
I'm all for it then.
I'm here to take my driver's test.
Does it look like a soda dispenser?
Yeah, pretty much.
And you don't have to tip.
Yeah.
So now an $8 beer costs $8.
How nice is that? Hey, you got to look at it from the entrepreneurial side,
yeah,
which we're all, we claim to be, or at least part-time entrepreneurs. Genius idea, right? I mean, whoever did this is going to get rich.
Yeah, I think so.
It's just one of those things that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially in those applications you were talking about.
Well, you know, you got to get in on the ground floor. And a lot of people thought they were in on the ground floor, and it just seems like it's taken forever. But the whole marijuana business, legalizing it and that sort of thing, some states, state by state, they're getting more and more uses legalized. Recreational is the big leap from the medicinal. But we keep talking about it on a national level and don't know how long it's going to go or if the feds are going to just say one day, okay, fine, it's go ahead and smoke to your heart's delight.
Yeah, we give up.
Yeah.
Just go ahead.
The war on drugs is over.
Well, apparently it's not if you ask Drug Enforcement Administration Special Agent Matt Fairbanks, who did a presentation recently. And he based his presentation and opened with the quote, "I come to represent the actual science." And he says, "I deal in facts, I deal in science," and goes on to explain how if we continue to legalize marijuana, all the bunnies are going to get high.
Wait, what are we talking about? Are we talking about bunnies like rabbits?
Bunny rabbits who live in the forest in the vicinity of these marijuana farms are going to get high on the marijuana, and it's just going to destroy the lives of these bunnies who are just going to sit on the sofa and play PlayStation all day.
Oh, just think of all the YouTube videos that could come from this.
And he says it's based on science. Apparently somebody was kind of listening to this presentation and requested through, you know, Freedom of Information Act, what are you citing exactly? And about a week later, they got a letter from the DEA saying that there really wasn't any science, that they had just seen bunnies that were acting weird when they went to cut down the marijuana farm.
Yeah. They've quit. And what else happened? Did they see any bunnies?
Well, they saw a bunny. Apparently, they saw a bunny that was just frozen there and didn't run away as they would expect a bunny to do when you're in its environment.
He was chilling.
Yeah.
Yeah. They figured he was so stoned, he was just sitting there.
Yeah.
However, they went and asked a rabbit expert.
Mm-hmm.
And the rabbit expert says, well, rabbits sometimes do that. They just, if they're panicked, they just freeze.
Yeah.
So he could have been high, but more likely he was just being a rabbit that was freaked out by these people cutting down the forest of delicious marijuana plants.
Great. Fine. You know, it seems like the Fed, they're always quick to tell you what you can and cannot do with your life. And even the medical related feds, you know, they've got all this advice that they come down for men and women, and there's some new advice when it, you know, we're going from stoned bunnies to women now. What's the latest advice?
Well, yeah, the government is always looking out for our health and well-being, right?
Of course,
we have these Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
As long as we have to pay for it,
they've issued their new Vital Signs report, in which they urge all women who could get pregnant, meaning not on some form of birth control or they're, you know, sexually active at least once in the last month.
Yeah.
If you fit into that category, you should abstain from alcohol completely.
Now, how are you supposed to get pregnant?
Exactly. New Year's, your birthday, anniversary is going to be kind of a boring evening, it seems like.
Is the CDC suggesting that women that are intoxicated are no longer able to make correct decisions about whether or not to procreate?
What they're trying to say is that there would be a likelihood over the month, if you were drinking, maybe not knowing you were pregnant, could lead to fetal alcohol syndrome.
Oh, well, I got it totally wrong. I thought they were saying don't drink because you might end up having sex.
Right. I think that's all maybe possibly the takeaway. But, you know, so there's an infographic that goes along with this report. And a woman that drinks any amount during pregnancy could produce a baby with brain damage, organ failure, who could turn into a child with a low IQ or learning disabilities, who could turn into an adult who can't keep a job and has, quote, trouble with the law.
Oh, God.
this is borderline reefer madness stuff right
yes,
here.
Yes, I know. Or it's crazy. It's exactly what that is.
They've done studies. There are women that have drank a lot during their pregnancy. baby's fine.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Obviously you don't want to do that. But yeah. You know, not so long ago in that book, you got issued when you became pregnant as a couple, mm-hmm. What to expect when you're expecting.
Yeah.
It was often recommended that a woman have a glass of wine once in a while just to chill
every
out.
Now and then, yeah.
Right. And that was perfectly cool. And now that's like blasphemy. Yeah. You know, you wouldn't possibly. So now, yeah, the new rule apparently is just don't drink.
Yeah. You know what? The government has a lot of advice, and they take a lot of our money, and they spend a lot of it. The three highest paid members of the Department of Defense, I thought you should know, are the football coaches of the Army, Navy, and Air Force teams.
Keeping America safe.
Ken Numalatololo at Navy makes the most with a salary of $1.7 million a year.
Wow.
Ken Niumatalolo. Neil Matalolo.
I thought for sure you'd be saying names that had at least admiral or general or some
right.
form of high rank in front of it.
Yeah, that's what I thought too, but no.
Not coach.
That's your tax dollars at work right there. Hey, by the way, the Coen brothers are back. You know who they are. Classic literature babes take on zombies. Is it a good weekend for new movies? Only way to find out for sure is to hear what Manny the movie guy has to say about them. He's seen them all, he's met some of these zombies, and he joins us live next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. It's time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex. Joining us live is a man who takes great pains to make sure he always has an alibi. That's why his entire wardrobe has stuck to it at least one bit of microfiber from whatever it is they make theater seats out of. KMIR-TV movie reviewer, Manny the Movie Guy.
Hello. That's why I have alibis for everything.
You always know where you are at any given moment. That's
good.
That's good. You got to have that in case the police come a-calling.
Right.
Now, it's a strange weekend for movies because this strange concept of mixing literature with the zombie apocalypse is making it to the silver screen more and more often. Eventually, there'll be 12 of these movies, I suspect. But the first, is this the first or the second? Did we have Lincoln versus the zombies already?
That's right.
He was a vampire killer.
That one was Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
Right. And now we have Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
And both films are based on Seth Graham Smith's novels. An homage. This one is an homage to Jane Austen and The Walking Dead, of course. And I actually love the book. The premise works well on the written page.
Yeah.
But on the big screen, not so much. The names are all the same. There's Elizabeth Bennet. She's played by Lily James. You saw her last on Cinderella. But the similarities stop there with a name. She's a master of martial arts and weaponry, and her man crush, the handsome Mr. Darcy, is a fierce zombie killer.
Yeah.
This one is from writer-director Burr Steers, the guy who gave us 17 Again, among others. The film has a fun tone, but it does not quite take off. Mixing two very different genres is hard, of course, and it's harder when you're trying to get laughs while scaring the audience. This film is uneven, and I, who read the book, was not that proud of the film.
Yeah, but would we enjoy martial arts babes slicing up the zombies?
There's not a whole lot of babes. If you like, you know, the corset babes, maybe.
Oh, yeah. When are corsets coming back? Sooner or later, they will. All right. This weekend, the Coen brothers, should we render unto the Coens whatever? Hail Caesar, that movie.
Right, well, this one is a love letter to old Hollywood made by some of the finest filmmakers of our time, the Coen brothers. This one, though, as fun as it is, lacks the narrative bite we all love and expect from the director.
No, you kidding?
Everyone's in the movie. You can easily spot the thinly veiled homage to the real-life screen icons. There's George Clooney in full Charlton Heston mode. Scarlett Johansson is very Esther Williams, and Channing Tatum is surprisingly good in a Gene Kelly song and dance sailor number. But wait, there's more. There's Tilda Swinton as a twin gossip columnist. There's Ralph Fiennes as a high-minded director. And if you're an 80s fan, you may be happy to see Christopher Lambert in a Coen Brothers movie. He plays a European filmmaker who has an affair with Scarlett Johansson's character. And then there's also Dolph Lundgren. He plays a Russian submarine commander.
Everyone's of course here. He does.
And tying it all together is Josh Brolin as the studio fixer Eddie Mannix. But what was that tied neatly together is the film itself. Taken in pieces, the movie is fun with a side of nostalgia, and the cast is perfectly capable. But this is not a Coen Brothers masterpiece that deserves the hail in the title. More like mild appreciation.
Oh, that's too bad.
I still enjoyed it. It's still a good matinee for you.
I was hoping for another Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? You know, that
yeah,
that
or the
quality.
Bukowski.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Great comedy from them.
Something that big. All right, now, you had an opportunity, and I know why this is because the stars of the show are pure eye candy. You went straight for them, and you did an interview, and you can see the interviews on MannyTheMovieGuy.com. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. The stars of the choice are indeed eye candy. Is that right?
They are all eye candy. Heck, even Nicholas Sparks is an eye candy. You obviously know Nicholas Sparks is the author. You know, he's done a lot of romantic dramas. We have The Notebook. We have A Walk to Remember, The Longest Ride, Dear John, and many of them. But this one I actually kind of enjoyed. And seriously, I was almost giving up on Nicholas Sparks. His last, you know, his recent efforts are just kind of so-so. But this one I enjoyed, and the reason is because this one actually has levity. It has a lot of funny moments, and most of them are brought upon by the actor Benjamin Walker. Now, Walker and Teresa Palmer play lovers in the movie, even though she's seeing Tom Welling. You remember Tom Welling from Smallville?
Oh, yeah, sure.
He's all grown up now, and it's all buffed, and he plays Dr. Ryan in the film. Now, that's just one of the choices in the movie. But the choice is a three-hanky picture that is at once funny, frustrating, and redeeming. You will cry.
Oh, great.
There you go. If you want a good cry, there you go. Go for it.
All right. I got to ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
Should William Shatner be in the next Star Trek movie?
Yes.
He's angling for it. Did you hear about this?
He should be.
He said he should play an old Captain Kirk.
Well, here's the deal. They offered it to him back when the first Star Trek came out, and he said no to it. Now he wants to be in on this one.
Yeah, but he's like 120 pounds over the weight that he was back when he was Captain
He'll
Kirk.
Do what all the young actors do, and he'll get on that weight training program before the movie.
They can explain it scientifically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe this is where the corset makes a comeback.
Thanks, mind you. I actually am very, very intrigued and curious about getting a Spanx.
Are you really?
That's a confession.
You know, you can pay extra for that in some places, and it'll be fine.
I feel like if Shatner did it, would just squeeze everything inside him to the top like a toothpaste.
Come out of his mouth.
Tube of toothpaste.
Chris, Manny was talking about a completely different type of Spanx.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, very good. MannyTheMovieGuy.com. Visit there often. Look at his interviews with the cast of The Choice, and we'll talk to you again next week, Manny. Thank you.
That's right. Yeah, next week, it's all about how to be single with Rebel Wilson.
Ooh.
And I love her.
Well.
And I'll release my interviews coming up.
All right. Good. Thanks. Nice to know. We'll talk to you then.
Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too. There he goes. All right. So,
Manny.
Going to see some movies. They'll go to my Netflix queue. I'll see them in a couple of years.
Going
to
see some movies, get spanked.
Yeah.
Whole deal.
That's right. No, get S-spanked.
Yeah, spanked, yeah.
That's right. Hey, I think there's a lot of confusion about this new scary virus out there. You've heard of it, right?
I have.
The Zika virus? I don't even know why it's called that, but is it really spreading like wildfire in the USA? And if so, how do you avoid it? And why are babies born to infected women coming out with tiny heads? Have you seen that? I mean, this is scary stuff. What you need to know when Dr. Kurtz joins us live next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Here's some random facts for you, real quick. The tallest building in Wyoming.
Okay.
148 feet. It's the Wyoming Financial Center. It's in Cheyenne. No other state's tallest building is that small. But the tallest buildings in Maine and South Dakota are both under 200 feet. So what is it? About 10 feet per story, right?
That's right.
So 148-foot building would be about 14 stories, right? Yeah.
What about the grain elevator, though?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The grain elevator.
That'll take you all the way up. Or you could see the chickens on the squares.
You're saying that even though the tallest building's 14 stories, but there's probably grain elevators that are taller than that?
Yeah, I would think. I don't know.
That's what he's saying.
I hear you.
Then you get out in there, right in the middle with your pitchfork. You start shoveling out that grain, and the next thing you know, you're headed down the middle of it, and you die.
Yeah, you get sucked into the vortex.
Right before you see the grain snake in the grain, right?
Oh, I didn't know those existed.
It freaks you out.
Let's go to our Wyoming correspondent to get us up to speed on this.
Hi, guys. I'm out here at the tallest building in Wyoming. Pales in comparison to the tallest grain silo.
If you're in Wyoming and you're a correspondent, you better... You better start every report with, hi, guys.
Hi, guys. That's the covering the grain elevator beat.
Yeah. Now, I think it's safe to say that the Centers for Disease Control sufficiently freaked us out about the Zika virus. And I have a bunch of questions about it. And there have been all kinds of reports on TV from guys who start the reports. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys. Right. Hey, we survived the, what was it, swine flu and the bird flu
but
and the
will
turtle
will we
cooties?
Survive the Zika? I don't know. And I bet you have a lot of questions about it, too. So joining us live is the final word on all things medical, the medical director of Valley View Wellness Medical Center in Garden Grove, California, Dr. Michael Z. Kurtz.
Good afternoon. No, actually, good morning, everybody. How you all doing?
Doing good. It could be good afternoon, depending on where people are
That's
when they're
right.
listening. Yeah.
I've never done this in the morning, so I'm used to you in the afternoon.
Now, in your name, Dr. Michael Z. Kurtz, is it well known that the Z stands for Zika?
Yeah, I'm supposed to pass that around. That's how they named it. They named it after me.
Did they? Oh, right. I don't know how it got its name.
I am the virus.
What is the Zika virus anyway? Where did it come from?
Well, where it came from initially, it came from Uganda in 1947.
No kidding.
But nobody said anything about it until recently, you know?
Yeah, because we like to freak out about these things now, don't we?
Yeah. So now everybody's freaking out. You know, there's always something. Ebola now is coming back.
Yeah.
And now the Zika is freaking everybody out because where we see it mostly is in South America.
Yeah.
However, it's coming to America. It's in Florida, and it's in Texas right now.
Uh-oh. Now, what is it exactly?
Okay, it's a mosquito bite. Basically, you get it from a mosquito.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like yellow fever. You know, it's the same one that carries yellow fever and all that kind of stuff, the same bad mosquito.
Yeah.
So it's from a mosquito bite, and that's how you get it. You don't get it from human-to-human contact, although there is somebody in Texas who says he got it from sexual contact. We don't think that's true.
He wasn't having sex with a mosquito, was he?
No, that's the only way you could get it, just from a mosquito. So if you're not having sex, how can you get it?
So, and it's not airborne from a sneeze or something like that?
No, it's not.
Okay.
No, it's not.
All right.
And the problem is because it's so new, even though it was from 1947, there's nothing out there to do for it. You know, it's just basically treat the symptoms, you know.
And what are those?
Symptoms are fever, chills, joint pain, and also you get conjunctivitis. You have an infection in your eyes.
Mm.
Yeah, and that's how you know.
It sounds a little like, what's the when you get bitten by the tsetse fly, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Actually, it sounds kind of like a hangover, but...
It's a bad one because it could cause problems. The problem with it is, if we get it, you know, men get it or women get it that are not pregnant, you get over it. It takes 2 days to 2 weeks and you should be fine.
Yeah.
The problem is the pregnant women who are pregnant with a child. Those are the ones that we have to look out for.
Yeah. And why is that? Because we've seen these reports about babies coming out and they have an abnormally small head. I don't understand that.
Right. Well, you do too, and I don't think you had Zika virus.
Right.
Well, right.
I don't know. You might have had it maybe when your mom was pregnant with you.
No, I don't have a tiny head, please. I have an enormous head.
His nickname in high school was Peanut.
Yeah, right.
But they're not sure. They're not sure why that causes it in the little babies. I mean, they're saying that there is a cause and effect link. At first, they thought it was from vaccines.
Yeah.
And now they change it to, you know, they think it's the Zika virus.
Is it deadly?
Well, in the baby, it could be deadly for the baby. I mean, in the mom, no. In us, no. Unless we have some kind of autoimmune or we have some kind of a problem, you know, cancer or something like that. Any virus could be deadly in people like that.
Yeah.
But the problem is the baby, you know, the neonate, the infant, the fetus, you know, that's the problem.
Yeah.
And the problem, another problem is, you know, Brazil this year is going to host the Olympics. So is that going to happen?
Oh, great.
You know, right? That might not happen. And the other thing is, you know, a lot of the women that are getting this, they're in South America. And in South America, abortions are not legal.
Yeah.
And a lot of the women want to have one because they don't want to have a baby that's going to have a problem for the rest of its life.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're thinking about overturning that whole ruling, but I don't know if that's going
to
happen either.
Well, all the people that bought their tickets to go to the Olympics, well, not all of them, but a lot of them, are going down there because they're thinking, woo, Brazil, going to have a lot of sex with all the, you know.
With the mosquitoes.
Yeah. I mean, buying sex on the street in Brazil is fairly common.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
yes, it is.
And so, but you can't get it from sex. So
no,
at least we know.
No, you can't get it from sex. Only from sex with a mosquito.
Now the CDC.
So it's always very sexy to lather yourself with off before you engage in the arrangement with the prostitute.
Yeah, go down with mosquito repellent. That's the only way.
Yes.
You can help yourself.
Now the CDC put out a huge warning about this, and gave us the impression that we were at pandemic level here in the United States already. But you said Florida and
not yet,
Texas.
Not yet. But they're predicting, though. This is the CDC. They're predicting that 3 to 4 million people could be affected this year in the Americas.
What do you think? Are they overreacting?
I think they're overreacting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well,
I hope they are, but I want to say yes, they are.
Yeah, because it's good business for you, right?
There's nothing to do for it.
Is there a test?
Take some fluid.
Is there a test?
No, there's no test.
You can't make any money off of this.
No, there's no money to be made.
Then what's the point?
Unless you're making bug spray.
I'm going to sell mosquito repellent.
Yeah, for $400 a can.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Not cheaper, $350 a can.
Dr. Michael Z. Kurtz with the Valley View Wellness Medical Center in Garden Grove. Thank you, sir. Always great to talk with you.
Always a pleasure, you guys. Have a great weekend.
All right.
And watch out for the mosquitoes.
Yes, that's right. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You too.
Dr. Kurtz, he always has the ability to set us straight on these issues.
Yeah. Well, why does the Earth hate us? It just keeps coming up. What can we throw at these human people now?
I don't know.
You know?
Can you blame it? Can you blame the Earth?
No, I don't blame
hateable,
it at all, actually.
We're a hateable group.
I know how we get back at the planet. We tell them about a lady that can lift things with her hoo-ha, and that story is next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
Hey, what are you talking about? We got 5 minutes before the top of the hour.
Right?
Boy.
What?
It has been a little while since
there's
you've been
no
in the studio.
I go to the break and there's no
you
break.
You should see the look on Mike's eyes when you said, we'll tell you about this after the break. They about popped out of his head
and
knocked his
glasses
off.
Well, it's a good thing you didn't press a button. What would have happened then?
Goodies, headache relief shot.
Well, it's a good thing we have a story about a lady lifting things with her hoo-ha.
Yeah, let me make up something real quick. No, this is a thing, actually. For women, I guess if a regular yoga class isn't going to cut it for you, or weightlifting, maybe you want to try something a little more, I assume, challenging.
We just ripped down the fourth wall right there, I think.
It hurt a little.
There's this woman, has developed an exercise program she calls Vagina Kung Fu.
Oh, my.
She says it's a method for women to stay active as well as promote overall sexual health. She started this project called Things I Lift With My Vagina.
Oh, great.
Huh.
And I was doing research on this very important story last night and had her website open on my computer when somebody came over and said, what are you looking at?
Yeah, exactly.
But apparently, she travels around the world lifting things with her vagina. Now, the article is very sparse on the details on how it actually works.
I'm curious about that because it does not seem like it would be healthy for your sex, like she says.
Yeah, I'm not sure what she uses to kind of then grapple to the object that she lifts.
Clamps?
But she says...
A bull ring?
She's lifted gluten-free, coconut sugar-sweetened organic donuts in L.A.
Well, that's only like a couple of ounces. Come on.
Right, but it's a theme depending on where she is. Right. So in some places, maybe tropical, she's lifted a green coconut, mangoes, and a pineapple.
Has she traveled to any place where they only have heavy stuff?
In Venice, she lifted a Murano glass chandelier.
Oh.
You see, all these objects are somewhat round. I'm starting to wonder if there is no device used to actually clamp on. If maybe she's actually sort of suction cupping to the object.
That's not. Is that possible?
No, it sounds like it could be coconuts and... And
from what I was able to see from her Instagram, that's not exactly how it works. Okay. So if you want to check her out on Instagram.
Is it like that? So does she attach chains to them? Like the guy who lifts things with his mustache.
It's kind of, yeah, there is an attachment of some sort of cord or cable.
Can you see it, though?
Yes.
Instagram's not going to show her.
No. It's from, she's wearing a skirt.
Yeah.
And so then beneath her skirt and between her legs, there is the object that is being lifted.
Oh. Who knows what she's got on under that skirt? Because she may not be lifting anything with her hoo-ha.
And Greg, you're saying this is it's an exercise in muscle control? Is it
it's kind of like a Kegel kind of thing. So, I mean, I don't know, like, if you're having... If I'm having trouble opening the spaghetti sauce, maybe she could help.
Here, hun.
But as I said, woefully short of details in this particular article.
Oh, gosh. All right. In related news. Hi, guys.
Do we go to break now?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
We don't go to break now. What's the matter with you? There's a video going around of an elderly guy who died while having sex with a hooker.
Oh.
Apparently this happened in China. When the paramedics wheeled him out on a stretcher, she was still on top of him because they were stuck together.
Hmm.
Turn the hose on him!
Exactly. That's what happens to dogs, right? Now, when you were a little kid and you first learned about sex, was that a concern that you thought that, well, maybe you might get stuck?
Hmm. I never had that one.
Yeah, I had that conversation with my buddies on my basketball team. I guess we were 12 or so, and with the conversation with, of all people, our basketball coach. Back in the day when adults could talk about sex with random children and not get thrown in jail.
Go to prison.
Yeah. The good old days, we call those, Phil.
Yeah, and so we were talking about it with our coach, and we said, you know, what happens if you get stuck? And he assured us, as only coaches would. He said, now, boys, that will never happen. Please stop worrying about getting stuck during sex.
Yeah, unless you're a dog, and then, in fact, it will happen.
Yeah, that's what we kept bringing up. What about dogs? Mm-hmm. You're not dogs.
And they do that weird thing where they get stuck back to back. It's the oddest thing you've ever seen.
Yeah. No, it is.
It's bizarre.
Because they've got that whole dog position thing down. We have it wrong.
Yeah. Right. We have a run?
If your dog's in the bedroom, he's totally critiquing your technique.
Yeah, what are you talking doggy
You're
style?
Doing
That's not
that
how
wrong.
We do it.
Dumb people.
All right, that's it.
You can go to break now, Phil.
That's it for this hour of the program, I'm pretty sure, but there's so much more to come, including stuff you should never talk to your coworkers about. Not just your salary, a whole bunch of other things. We have an expert to talk about that. Our travel guide joins us with at least three very romantic Valentine's Day destinations. That and a whole lot more coming up in the second hour, including more Super Bowl stuff right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. Some of the stories we have for you this hour, sad news for the extreme sports world. We have proof that Burger King gives you gas. Plus, unbelievable facts about the fast food you're putting down your throat and into your belly. What not to say to your coworkers, and we give you a little help out for your Valentine's Day planning. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for listening. Chris Martin and Gonzo Greg Spillane are here with us.
Hello, hello.
Hello. All right, Chris, let's start with you.
Sure.
And take us to the king, the Burger King.
This is a great little story out of Morro Bay, California. Employees at the local Burger King smashed out all the windows in the restaurant, causing $35,000 in damage yesterday. Police say a man called pretending to be from the fire department. He told the employees there was a gas leak and instructed them to smash out all the windows so they could ventilate the building and prevent noxious inhalation of the gas.
What a prank.
Right?
I love this story.
Top
more than I should.
Prankster.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, they were acting responsibly by doing that.
And because of that, none of the employees involved in this, what would normally be considered a crime, are facing any charges. None of them are going to be fired. Yeah. Everybody's fine.
Well, what about the ingenious prankster?
If, by some chance, he is found and caught, then he will be facing felony charges. But I don't know if you can track him down. I don't
sure,
know
they need only check his YouTube page.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But he's also my hero. I just think that's out because I'm eight, you
yeah.
know, so
oh,
I enjoy this sort of thing.
Last night on Twitter, somebody told me to act my age.
Did they?
what does a guy my age act like anymore? I mean, when I was a kid, you know, guys my age were sitting on the porch in a rocking chair, you know, sipping tea all their life, the rest of their life.
Talking about the weather in the good old days?
Yeah, and they only had like 5 years to live at that point. But now, at my age, it's like my age is the new, 20. And in my head, I'm still an adolescent boy.
No, that's in your head.
Yes.
Is that you're 20.
Right.
That your age is the new 20. That's in your head, Phil.
Is it?
It's not. It's, yeah, but it's not true.
Well, right. Yours and Geraldo Rivera.
28.
We humor you. We humor you because you're a friend. But
okay, 36.
We'll give you 40. What were you doing? What were you engaged in
I was having a tete-a-tete en masse with every Kings fan on Twitter because the Ducks were playing the Kings last night in Los Angeles in the Staples Center. And the Ducks were bringing it to the Kings. So I was just gloating the entire game and finding funny animated GIFs and all that kind of stuff and just laying it to them. And, you know, a little out of the decorum I usually attempt to adhere to as the public address announcer for the Anaheim Ducks, but I was playing full fan. I was at a watch party, you know, having Mexican food and Mexican beer and chips and salsa and all that kind of stuff. So I was feeling a little spunky, so I had some fun with them. And
so you had to put the lampshade on your head and went on Twitter and went berserk.
Exactly. And
it started a flame war on Twitter.
And it was all fun until somebody said, act your age. And then all of a sudden, I started, you know, contemplating my mortality.
Bom, bom, bom. Somebody has to bring it down by, you know, introducing comments like that.
So I replied, I know you are, but what am I?
Good. You. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did the Ducks ultimately win this game?
Oh, yeah. They just destroyed the Kings.
Well, then, come on.
Yeah.
You win the argument.
Yeah.
Also.
Perhaps.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
After the season's over, when we're playing golf, we'll have fun.
Right. Then that's when we're friends.
Yeah. And do we have any more fast food stories?
We can go across the street to McDonald's if you want.
Oh, yeah, sure. What do they got going
on? You guys
go to
McDonald's at your age, whatever it is.
Yeah. I like their fish sandwich.
Really?
Yeah.
I like their spicy McChickens.
I found at a certain age I could no longer eat at McDonald's. It just stops being digestible, I found, except for the French fries, which are amazing when you're coming home from the bar at 4 in the morning.
Yeah, out of the cooker, too.
When you're being Ubered home from the bar at 4 in the morning. To clarify, McDonald's new kale salad sounds all healthy and good for you, right?
Yeah, sure. I like kale salad.
Kale's the trendy thing. What is it? It's a green thing of some sort, right?
It's something you've been killing in your front yard for years, and now all of a sudden we're eating it.
It's delicious when you smother it in ranch.
Well, that seems to be part of the problem because their kale salad contains more calories, fat, and sodium than a double Big Mac. and you're eating kale. So
yeah.
There's that.
Wow.
you go for the Keep Calm Caesar on chicken salad, which contains real Parmesan cheese petals and nutrient-rich lettuce blend with baby kale. But when you put on the creamy Asagio Caesar dressing on the crispy chicken version, that salad contains more than 730 calories, 53 grams of fat, and 1,400 milligrams of salt, according to their own McDonald's nutritional information.
Wow.
So for comparison, what that means is someone would have to consume three traditional McDonald's hamburgers to consume the same amount of calories from a salad in which you are eating kale, which comes from your front yard, according to Phil. So,
And be sure to wash the malathion off of it, you know, before you eat it.
Have Uber guy take me to McDonald's for the fries. Uberman!
Now, is all that... Okay, I'm sorry, what do you say to Uberman?
We're going on an adventure. Take me to McDonald's.
Is all that calorie and sodium and all that in the dressing? Or
The dressing kind of destroys it. In the chicken one, if you get the crispy chicken, that's deep fried, so that's a big part of the problem. I think if you were to get the kale salad and just eat the kale, it would be... considerably less.
This is McDonald's laughing in the faces of the nutrition Nazis.
Right.
Yeah, the federal government is saying, okay, you've got to add more and more stuff on your menu about the nutritional value and calorie count of your food, and that costs them money, and they're saying, nobody's coming here to be healthy.
Sure.
And so they scoff at that. They say, fine, we'll make kale salad. Will that make you happy? And the feds say, yay, that's good. Well, you're playing nice, McDonald's, but they throw all the crap on the kale salad, and it's less healthy for you than the double Big Mac. And so they're laughing. They're just having a good time.
Oh, I'm laughing, too, because you're eating kale.
Yes, of course.
I'm having fries.
Hey, you want us to do salad? No problem. Yeah. We'll deep fry the chicken. We'll cut up egg yolk, throw that on top, and cover it in goat cheese.
Would you call me? Now, the mention of social media made me think of something. How old do you think Facebook is?
I'm going to say 15 years.
What do you say,
Greg? That's probably too old.
It was just their birthday, right?
A dozen years yesterday, 12
years. How long you been on?
I've been on Facebook probably, I don't know, I'm going to say 8 years.
Well, that's a little late. I would expect you to be right at the front.
I wasn't
edge.
In college at the beginning because the first 4 or 5 years of Facebook, you had to be to be a college student to join Facebook.
Oh,
and I resisted it for a while because I was like, "No way, man! MySpace, that is where it's at."
Yeah,
but
and now look where it's at.
Yeah.
Anyway, over there they celebrated by challenging the idea that we're all 6 degrees of separation from each other. Now that we're all online, apparently it's more like 3.5 degrees of separation.
All of us apart?
Yeah. They ran the numbers.
Does this bring us all closer to Kevin Bacon?
Much closer.
All right.
Because they ran the numbers on 1.6 billion people who are on Facebook, and they found the average user is just 3.57 degrees of separation away from anyone else. And in the U.S., it's only 3.46.
Wow.
Degrees of separation. And Kevin Bacon is what? 6 degrees of separation, right?
Right. That's what made him famous.
Yeah.
He's bumming now.
For example, the averages are better in some cases. Mark Zuckerberg, the father of Facebook, his number is 3.17. And the researchers say almost everyone is between 2.9 and 4.2 degrees of separation from Mark Zuckerberg.
Except for Tom from MySpace, who's now 9 away from...
He doesn't exist.
Right.
Yeah. And by the way, scientists have figured out why the internet is making us dumber. When you read online, your brain is forced to constantly decide whether to click on links, videos, and ads. And when you read a book, you don't have to make those decisions, so your brain does a better job committing what you read to memory. So, read a book.
Mm. Well, or learn how to.
Soon Facebook will have you don't have to just like something.
Yeah.
Like if somebody died, you don't have to like that. You can be sad about it, or they're going to give you little emojis you can pick. And
good.
I think it's coming up in the next month or so.
You don't have to read. You just look at the little emojis.
I just click the picture of the sad face.
You sound smart.
But you can't not like something because that would be too negative.
We're going to help you on this program like we normally do. We have helpful information constantly on this show. And everyone knows you should never share your salary with your coworkers, right? That's pretty obvious. But what else is best kept to yourself? What not to say to your coworkers? With an expert who should know better. Next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Welcome back to the show. It's Phil Hewlett and friends. Gonzo, Greg, and Chris Martin are here with me. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks, as always, for listening. And we're going to help you out here with some advice in your workplace. Tammy Gilbert is an author, and her new book is called Courage to Preserve, a compelling story of struggle, survival, and triumph. The book's available in the store at Phil Hewlett and Friends. com right now. Go check it out. She's a nurse, an MBA holder, experienced bullying and betrayal at work expert, and she joins us live right now to talk about what you should not say to your coworkers because they're out to get you. They really are. Is that right, Tammy?
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Well, not everybody's out to get you, but you just have to be careful in the workplace.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, not everyone that is nice to you is your friend.
That's correct, because they might be nice to try to get something from you so that they could use it against you. Now, the obvious thing we would never tell a coworker is our salary. Remind us why that is the case.
Well, you don't know who is talking to who, and you can't really trust anybody. You can't trust. You have to use your judgment.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are some people who manage to find a friend and a confidant in the workplace, but it's not always that common, but it does happen. But if you don't, you just have to use your judgment. If someone gossips to you all the time about some other people, eventually they're going to start gossiping about you. So I wouldn't share my salary, just like I wouldn't share personal information with just anyone in the workplace.
Oh, like personal information, like what? Let's say you started dating, you got a new love in
right.
your life.
Exactly. Well, I wouldn't, unless someone is really my confidant and my friend outside work and inside work, I wouldn't share that how bad my husband was treating me or how bad my boyfriend is treating me. Or even that my 25-year-old son couldn't get a job, couldn't keep a job and still live at home. Or even sharing that you're trying to keep up with the Joneses by spending all your savings, buying a new Porsche or BMW. That's just information that you don't need to share with everyone at work.
See, this is why I lie to everybody. I tell people my salary is way higher than it is. I've got all these chicks in my life. Everything is amazing.
Yeah.
And then when it comes back around, you're like, oh, I know where this came from.
Yeah.
Because then you can
right.
pinpoint the person, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And like I mentioned before, the saying is that the dog that carry a bone will also bring a that bring a bone will carry a bone. So think about that.
Oh, gosh. I just want to ask you something real quick, Tammy, off the topic, because you have a charming accent, and I wonder where you got that.
Nigeria. I came from Nigeria. I came here 36 years ago, it's a long story. It's a long story. I was abandoned there by my both parents.
Oh.
And then I came here. My father sent for me, and then I came here, and I was abandoned again.
Oh, no.
And found myself living in a cold basement, dark and cold. So, I had to work very hard to get my education and so that I wouldn't be stuck in that situation.
Who paid for your education?
Well, nobody. I had to work 2-3 jobs as a nurse assistant to go to nursing school. I wanted to be a registered nurse. And because I was not a citizen at the time, I couldn't get financial aid. So I had to work as a nurse assistant, two, three jobs, and to pay my tuition.
No kidding. And now you have an MBA.
Exactly.
And you're an accomplished author.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
Yes, American dream. Yeah, it's possible. You just have to work hard.
Good for
wow,
you.
I feel like a total bum right now.
Yeah, of course.
Well, that's all right. Just tell us another one of your stories about what one of those lies.
What you lie about, right? Well, that's such an inspiring story, and congratulations to you. And did you ever reconcile with your family?
Yes. You know, I had to learn to forgive. And once in a while, I remember, but I had to learn to forgive my father because I learned that the anger was hurting me more than him. And I have to, in order to move on and create a loving family or life that I want, I had to let the anger go. And, yeah, I reconcile, so I speak to him now. Yeah, I do communicate with
him. How about that? And you talk about this in your book, Courage to Persevere.
Yes, it's Courage to Persevere, yes.
All right, how about that? Yes. All right, so, well, wonderful. I'm so glad you opened up about that and that I asked you about it. I wasn't sure if I would, but thank you very much. Now, let's get back to the topic at hand here. What can we talk about safely with our coworkers?
Well, things that... It's not really a secret. For example, you know, my son had a basketball tournament this weekend. You know, because people, you want to get related with people at work also. You want to be cordial and be friendly. So I usually talk about general things. What did you all do this weekend? Oh, we went out to dinner, or we went to movies. Or, you know, things that's happening with your family, just so... Because you do want to be friendly and be related to people, your coworkers, but I just wouldn't divulge personal information.
Right.
And plus, we have to be professional at all times. You know, you know, work is like a stage. When you get to work, it's like a stage. And you know, just give a specific example of what I wouldn't tell a coworker, unless somebody is really, really my confidant and my friend. One time a coworker came to work and shared with us that she went home and found her alcoholic husband in his own vomit.
Ooh.
And, of course, everybody was gasping about that the whole day. I mean, that's just something you don't tell.
No, you don't. But I think I get there are some nuances here that you hit upon. I should probably not say... I spent the weekend, let me put it another way. Oh, I went to the Laker game, and I was sitting in the front row next to Jack Nicholson. And rather than saying that, you should say something like, my 12-year-old son's basketball team won the championship in their little park league this weekend.
No, I would share the one sitting next to Jack Nicholson.
You would? Why?
Because that's something to be proud of. That's something to be excited about.
Yeah, but they'd say, where'd you get the money to do that on your salary?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, you don't have to say how you got there, but you can say, oh, yeah, I was there. But...
The boss gave me a pair of tickets. Wait a minute, what? You brown noser.
You don't have to share the detail of how you got there, but yeah. Yeah, the exciting thing.
I'm confused. I think the best rule of thumb here is just don't talk to anybody at work.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Keep to yourself and shun everybody else.
Yeah, that's right.
No, like I said, you just have to use your judgment.
Yeah, all right.
About what to say. With that alcoholic husband, that was something that she didn't need to say.
Yeah, no. I'm still upset at her about sharing that story about me.
It is.
Really not cool.
Tammy Gilbert, just an honor and a pleasure to speak with you. And it's such an inspiring story. And you talk about it in your book, Courage to Persevere. A compelling story of struggle, survival, and triumph. Again, the book is available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. I hope everybody goes in there and buys it. And thank you so much for sharing not only your story, but some advice at the workplace. Tammy Gilbert.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Thank you.
A pleasure. Talk to you soon.
The old rule was you don't share what kind of money you make with your coworkers, because then the next time they're in negotiations, they could pull that old, well, Phil told me he makes this much.
And
aren't I just as valuable as Phil? And then the boss comes back to you and goes, what's wrong with you?
Yes.
What are you doing telling people how much you make?
Right. Now you're costing me money rather than making me money.
Exactly.
Got to be a value at all times. Absolutely. got to be of value. All this talk about the workplace is making me hungry.
Me too.
Not I was to just looking at the list of stories here. Can you tell me what they're serving up, Greg, at the Florida State Fair and why they're having a state fair right now? It's the middle of winter.
Yeah, funny you should ask. But I guess, yeah, because I guess that's a Florida thing. They have their state fair in February.
Yeah.
So it's coming up on the well, – it's all, yeah, we're past the 4th. What day is it?
I don't know. If you don't tell me what they're serving over there real soon, we're going to go to a break because we have those sometimes.
Started Thursday, the most popular hamburger in the competition, the People's Choice Burger Awards, is the Bacon Bomb Explosion Burger.
Oh, does it really explode?
It explodes in your mouth with flavor.
Wow.
Fresh ground chuck with ranch, barbecue sauce, special seasoning. Mm-hmm. After the addition of some bacon crumbles, the meat is wrapped in a lettuce fresh bacon and slow roasted with hickory smoke until golden brown, then sliced into patties.
Yeah.
And then served on a Kaiser roll with cheese, lettuce, tomatoes, onions, pickles, and
kale.
If you like,
kale.
More. No kale, more strips of bacon.
Ah, lovely.
Wow, you're really good at reading off ingredients like
that. I love bacon.
It worked.
Try it for Valentine's Day. Hey, and up next, our travel guy joins us to take the pressure off your gift shopping process. Why not take a trip? His top three Valentine's Day destinations next on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, you know you're dreading February because Valentine's Day is coming along and you don't know what to do, what to buy, where to go, and you're just stressed out about it. Valentine's Day, is it the most stressful day of the year for men?
I think it's either that or for men, Christmas is pretty stressful as well, though.
Total trap. It's a total trap.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want any. No, don't get anything fancy. That means the opposite.
Yeah. I don't want anything. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Why not make it easy? Let's go on a trip, right? I'll put a bow on the do not disturb sign. So it's time to talk travel. How about that? With our travel guy, Gary Warner. He's here
hey
to
guys.
Rescue you from Valentine's Day hell. Gary, you, sir, do you agree with me? It's a tough day.
It is a tough day, though I would say that the worst is Thanksgiving.
What?
I think that's like, yeah, I think that's the official tour of duty. You have to go, you know, you cannot skip it. It's relatives. It's seeing your, you know, your uncle who gets drunk once a year, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
But at least you could just go and then leave when it's all over and then it's in the past. But if you buy a gift and it's the wrong gift, you live with that for the rest of your life.
Well, that's why I always say, you know, travel's a great thing to buy.
Yeah,
you know,
see, because, and I'm on board with that.
That's why I always get cleaning supplies. You can never go wrong with that.
Oh, yeah.
Cleaning supplies or exercise equipment. That's what I say.
New ironing board. Here you go, baby.
No, you can't plug in an ironing board. That's the rule, right? Don't buy something that plugs in.
With a plug, yeah.
Yeah. Batteries are?
Don't buy anything that's household related. No, that's sending the wrong message.
Gary, so let's talk about Valentine's Day destinations then. How many do you have for us?
Well, I thought three domestic and three overseas.
Just, oh, so you have six.
You know,
okay.
Some of them can be, you know, something you're going to do for Valentine's Day. Some of them can be something where you give them a little box and says, we're going to go here.
All right, we'll save the exotic overseas destinations for later. Let's start for the domestic.
I think San Francisco is a great spot. It's just, I think, in many ways, the most romantic city in the U.S. It's just full of nice restaurants and little hotels and shops, lots of strolling, the cable cars, the sea.
Yeah.
Walk across, if it's a decent day, walk across the Golden Gate Bridge. I just think that San Francisco is it's our most European city. So
yeah, and you know what? Here's a real easy way out on the gift thing. You can go to Ghirardelli Square. Is that what it is? Stop at the chocolate place and get a nice box of Ghirardelli chocolates, right?
Yeah.
Wow, home free. Yeah. And then, okay, let's go have some crab or lobster.
Yeah, crab or lobster. It's a great spot. And then, you know,
can I ask you a question real quick before we move on from San Francisco? Because
sure.
I'm curious, what's the difference between Santa Clara and San Francisco in relation to the Super Bowl this weekend? Like, what is it a different type of city?
Yeah, Santa Clara is down on almost down to San Jose.
Yeah,
and it's sort of like the way in Los Angeles. It's the difference between the Coliseum and you know where they're going to build the stadium in Carson or something like that. You know.
Yeah, but it's Santa Clara is. It's not too far from the coast, but it seems mountainous when you're there.
Oh, really? They have foothills and stuff?
Yeah, it's a hilly area.
Okay.
Let's just say that I don't think a lot of people are going to be spending a lot of time in Santa Clara for the Super Bowl. They're going to be up in San Francisco.
Yeah, of course. Now, all right. So San Francisco, where do we go from there? What's another spot?
Well, you know, I think people even in here in maybe in Southern California or other places want to be a little bit warm. So Miami Beach is a great spot to go this time of year.
Of course it is.
Yeah, and, you know, the only problem is you got to watch out for eye candy on both ends if you're with somebody, you know, if you're down there strolling along. But those, the South Beach area with the old Art Deco hotels. And then I also like the area that's just north of there with the Eden Rock and the like, 1960s hotels that were, like, in Thunderball and things like that. And mm-hmm. it's just the water's nice. It's just a nice time of year down there.
And as we learned in our previous segment, the Florida State Fair is going on, where you can get the bacon bomb burger. So there's that. That's romantic for Valentine's.
Well, I'll go. I'd rather go and get some conch. That's like a
what
language?
Excuse me.
Language?
Did we bleep that?
Yeah, crab claws at Joe's.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's my Miami Beach.
Eat at Joe's. Okay. All right. So a third domestic destination.
Finally, I mean, you know, what's romance without Hawaii? I mean, you know, Hawaii is just a great spot. I especially like Kauai.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And my favorite spot is over there on the in the west side, a place called Waimea Plantation Cottages. Where you can kind of play house, and, you know, you have your own little kitchen, and, you know, you can run out and get food, you can go out to eat, but it's just a really laid back romantic spot, lots of strolling, sunsets. It's on the west side, so you get the sunsets.
Yeah,
it's just a great spot. I mean, anywhere in Hawaii, pretty much, it's hard to beat. Very romantic.
And it doesn't seem domestic either when you go to Hawaii. It seems like you're another country.
It's exotic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So take us to the overseas destinations then.
Yeah. One of my favorite little stories is a place called Il Pelicano, which is on the Tuscan coast. It's a couple that basically fell in love in California while they were hiding out during World War II. They were expatriates, and they went back and they opened up this resort that reminded them of Southern California on the Tuscan coast. It's a short drive outside of Rome. You can still go to Florence and the Tuscan hill towns and everything like that. But I just like it because it's a beautiful spot on the coast. It's very warm, and it has a great romantic backstory. I really like that.
Under the Tuscan sun, as it were. Yeah. All right. Got it. Now, where else?
Now, I know France has had a lot of trouble this year, but I still think that, you know, Paris is just the most romantic city. You take a girl there or a guy there or whatever, you know, whatever your choice is, and it's just hard to beat. And
they still have French people there, though, right?
Yeah, well, hey, you know, but you know, it's kind of a backdrop, you know, as it were, you know, and you can kind of ignore it. I like the Marais, which is actually over the left bank's become very big with most tourists to stay in the Latin Quarter or the Saint Germain area. I like the Marais, which is an older area on the right bank. There's a lot of little shops and small restaurants, coffee houses. A gigantic square that you can walk around, and it's just it's still not as commercial as some of the areas outside of along the left bank. Or
just a word of caution: if you're going to be a crass American, you walk into a fine dining establishment there on the Champs-Élysées, and you say words to the effect, "What do you got to eat in here?" The answer is going to be jambon, right? Which is French for ham sandwich, I think.
Ham sandwich, yeah.
Ask him for the bacon bomb.
There's the croque monsieur, which is a ham sandwich with cheese on a baguette. That's but it's very good.
I'll tell you, I had 12 of them. Then it's
Well, or mussels is the other thing. They have fast food mussels, which is something you can't quite get your head around. But
all right, we were running out of time, so we've been to the Tuscan coast. We've been to Paris, and what's your third international destination?
Because it's the time of year, I think it's a great time of year to go down to Australia. It's summer down there. It's the beginning of the surfing season, so you can go up to the Gold Coast to Surfer's Paradise and watch the best surfers in the world competing right now.
Can you rent a board and go out there and surf with them?
Oh, yeah. They'll teach you how to surf very easily.
What about the sharks? Do they have any sharks?
Well,
out there?
Yes, and they have shark nets up there. Oh. You know, they're used to the sharks, you know, up there. Well, you know, in Southern California, we're getting these venomous sea snakes now because of...
What?
Yeah.
El Nino's bringing in the sea snakes?
Yeah, bringing in venomous sea snakes.
Damn you, El Nino.
Yeah. But if you don't want to go that far up, Bondi Beach or Manly Beach, right outside of Sydney, are great spots. It's a great time of year in Sydney. You know, lots of summer dresses and swimsuits. And
so if you're feeling Bondi or if you're feeling Manly,
yeah,
you have a choice.
Yeah. Oh. And do a pub crawl, too.
Oh, okay. They've got good beer in Australia.
They've got
great
beer.
Because,
got some
because you, ask for a, you ask for a glass of beer and they give you a bucket.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they do. Although there's also tinnies, which are the little tin cans. So you know you can have it either way you want.
Yeah, all right.
So there you go. There, I think those are all places where if you took somebody, your relationship would be better after you got back, as opposed to some places where you go and it's like, I don't want to see your face again.
Hey, baby, we're going to Toledo.
Yeah,
we're going to that great Philly cheesesteak stand down the street.
Yeah. Now, despite the fact that there was practically no romantic talk throughout this conversation, Gary, you are correct. If we do go, things will work out, and it'll be an excellent Valentine's Day. So plan your trips now. And Gary Warner, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Take care, man.
Good luck on your Valentine's
Day.
Thank you. All right. There he goes. Now, it's probably too late to book a trip, right?
If you're trying to get there for Valentine's Day, no, there's plenty of time. Still have 9 days or whatever it is.
Could drive to San Francisco. That's not a problem.
No, what is that? That's a 6-7 hour drive?
Yeah. If you're in the East Coast, you could drive to Miami. No problem.
Still, if you don't do flowers or something, if there's not some physical thing, you've blown it.
Yeah.
Start out with breakfast in bed.
Yeah.
Then you've got a surprise in the car.
Right.
Then you take the car all the way up to San Francisco.
If you're lucky, you get a surprise in the car.
I was wondering about. Is that what you're inferring?
Okay. Just drive carefully. Keep your eyes on the road, please. Hands on the wheel.
10-2.
Very sad news out of the X Games extreme sports genre, and we're going to hear about that and a whole lot more. I mean, I don't want to bring you down. That's why, well, you know this show. Once we bring you down, there will be something that will bring you up, and then we'll drop you off the cliff. Happens every week.
Stay tuned for death.
Next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Super Bowl stuff. Facebook says that fans of the Carolina Panthers have 20% more friends than Denver Bronco fans. Facebook friends, that is. Panthers fans average just over 500 friends. Broncos fans have just under 400.
Meanwhile, nobody likes the Browns.
Still true. Absolutely true. All right.
Browns have no friends.
Now we have, do you ever watch the X Games? These guys are flying off of ramps on all sorts of things, skateboards and bicycles and just crazy stuff. And it almost always happens in Los Angeles, right, downtown?
A lot of times. It happens all over the world, but L.A.'s
but the big one that gets the TV action. And some of these guys fly off of there. And if you've been following some of these guys, there's some big names in the BMX world. And that what does BMX stand for anyway? Do you know?
Bicycle motocross.
Is that what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thanks.
Bicycle motocross. Wow, that... Yeah. Sounds right.
Yeah. Because an X is a cross?
Yeah. Right. Bicycle, moto, cross, MX.
Yeah. Were you a BMX rider?
As a very young child, yeah, I was.
Huh.
Me too.
It was before it became what it is today, and Yamaha, the motorcycle company, had this ill-decided decision to make a bicycle with, like, mini bike shocks on it and stuff.
Yeah.
Which was amazing, but it weighed like 800 tons.
Sure.
It was awful.
You remember the Schwinn Stingray that had the springy front forks on it? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine, Johnny was his name, think his name was Johnny. Yeah, he got a brand new one of those. So we rode out to the a park where there was a construction area with a big hill on it, and the hill was rained down, and it was firm, so you could ride along the top, but you could also fly off of the top of this hill about, 15, 20 feet. I don't know how big it was, but we would fly off of that on our bikes.
That was the objective. If you had a bicycle, it was not to keep, it was to get it into the air.
Yeah, now my bike was fine. It was like it was a repurposed Huffy. But my buddy John, he had such a great bike, and I said, he wouldn't fly it off the thing. I said, hey, can I try it? And I was a good 20 pounds heavier than him. I think at the time I might have been 140 for a kid on a bicycle. That's pretty heavy. But he said, okay, fine, just be careful. So I flew off of there and landed, stuck the landing. But then after I landed, the pedals would hit the ground every time you would try to move the pedals around.
Right.
And, oh, because you damaged the shocks, and now the shocks would slam.
Now the bike was like 4 inches lower to the ground than it was.
Bent. Turned it into a lowrider.
And I just said, I'm sorry, here's your bike. And since I was bigger than him, it was settled.
That was the end of the discussion on that one.
So back to BMX, the sad news.
Yeah, sad news. And one of those bizarre stories, legendary BMX freestyle rider Dave Mira, who up until recently actually owned the most X Games medals in history, was found dead in his truck yesterday from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. This guy is in very rare company. He medaled every year from 1995 to 2008, including 24 career medals, and is in the company of Tony Hawk and Shaun White for not only the fastest to win so many medals, but to do it in such short periods of time.
Wow.
Yeah, he hosted some shows on MTV for a while.
That's right. He hosted shows on MTV, had his own video games, drove off-road for Subaru, some of those big off-road competitions.
Yeah,
I had him on my show a couple times.
You did?
I don't claim to know him or anything, but he seemed like, he was an awesome dude.
Yeah, looking at some of the video that comes out on him now, seemed real aware, seemed sharp, seemed focused, but sometimes, kind of like that Robin Williams thing, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes if they've discovered some things about themselves that maybe they didn't want to have to see through to fruition, or if maybe they were just off their rocker a little bit, because some people are claiming that this could be due to like traumatic brain injury, sort of like some of these football players are facing.
Because he's been injured a lot, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah. You take a lot of spills when you're a BMX rider. There's no evidence to support that, but, of course, theories are going to be thrown around.
That's the speculation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, our thoughts and prayers go out to his family and to fans of the sport. That's a big deal. It really is when you lose one of the good ones. You have some Hollywood news for us.
I do have some Hollywood news. This is making its round of making its rounds across all the BuzzFeed sites. Do you know who Ariel Winter is?
No.
You do not. Well, let me tell you. She's a young actress on the popular television show Modern Family.
Oh, I've seen that.
You have.
So I've probably seen her.
Yep, the Modern Family is a show about all different types of lifestyles living together. She's getting a bunch of praise from activists everywhere for showing her breasts on the SAG Awards red carpet last Saturday.
Yay!
She has my praise as well.
Sure. It's praiseworthy.
The more breasts we can have, the better. That's what I say.
She was actually showing her breast reduction scars, I should clarify.
Oh wait. No, now I'm against this.
Wow. Ariel Winter recently had surgery to go from an F cup to a D cup. And she proudly displayed those D cups as much as you can within reason on the SAG Award red carpet. Uh-oh. Some people pointed it out to her on social media, and she responded by saying, "The reason I didn't make an effort to cover up my scars is because they are part of me, and I am not ashamed." Then, of course, that gets the female feminist activists all in a tizzy.
That's
they
empowering.
Love that stuff. That's right.
Yeah. Well, on the topic, you know who Sofia Vergara is, right?
Sure do.
She has enormous breasts.
She does.
She says she'll get a breast reduction in 10 years.
Oh.
But she does say, now you can insert Sophia's accent because I cannot. I wouldn't make them too small, just enough that I don't end up looking like an old stripper. She also hates watching herself on TV, and she'll be, quote, sad when the wolf whistles stop.
You know who I bet could do a really good Sofia Vergara?
Who's that?
Manny the movie guy.
I bet he could, yes.
You know?
Right.
I just pictured that when you were reading that quote.
Yeah. Pierce Morgan continues to be a boob. He hated seeing Susan Sarandon's boobs at the SAG Awards. He went on Twitter calling it horribly inappropriate for a segment honoring the dead, he says, adding, quote, would Susan Sarandon wear what she wore to a funeral? No. And
but
so,
Susan Sarandon for how old is she now? She's doing very well.
She's like 80.
Is she really?
No, I don't know.
70s, though, right? I mean, somewhere either high 60s or low 70s.
Something. I don't know.
I have no idea. But I from what I've seen that's come out since all of this flack, is she's doing very well, and there should be no complaints.
Yeah, right. Hey, you want to have a great time at your Super Bowl party?
Do I?
If anyone sings to the tune of the nationwide jingle, kick them in the teeth immediately. Take vodka shots whenever Cam Newton pisses off your racist grandpa. Let's see. Just keep reminding yourself the Patriots didn't make it. Don't listen to your kids when they tell you you're too old and white to dab. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah,
I'm not going to this party.
Don't dab.
All right. There's a 27-year-old former Marine from Pennsylvania who's battling cancer, and he's going to Stanford at the same time. And yesterday on Good Morning America, Adam Vinatieri of the Indianapolis Colts surprised this 27-year-old Marine, she is a woman, with two tickets to the Super Bowl.
Cool.
Her name's Reagan Odner. So congratulations to her and to Good Morning America for helping make all of that happen. Again, Adam Vinatieri, by the way, he's the kicker for the Colts, right?
Oldest player in the league.
Yeah.
They'll get to go and enjoy $12 beers. That's awesome.
Yes. All right. So how do we do? What did we learn today? We learn anything?
All kinds
not
of
a
good
damn
stuff,
thing.
Yeah.
No. Well, you see, two different types of students. One's listening, one isn't.
That's why I sit in the back of the room.
I'm sure we learn stuff. I just can't remember any of it.
Yeah. Hey, we love your comments. We're always open to learning things here. So click contact at philhewlettandfriends.com. We're on Twitter. Follow us at FAF Show. That's PHAF Show. FAF. We should make T-shirts that say FAF. So people can ask you what that is, and you could tell them. We're on Facebook. Like us there. Follow us. Whatever. If you listen to iTunes, leave us a comment there and a review. Leave us a voicemail. There's a little green tab on the website. Click on it. If you have a microphone on your computer or your phone, you can leave us a message. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, our production assistant, Ryan Hayden, is apparently busy making guacamole for Sunday.
Good call.
Yeah. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Chris, for Gonzo, and all the friends, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk to you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and not back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.